So Lauren is, I'm trying to calculate, I think 9 weeks and 1 day behind the cruises, right? I think she panicked for some reason, but Lori is 26 weeks along, and I guess it's hard work to have a baby. I don't know. She's literally bodybuilding right now. That is the whole thing with pregnancy. And so she gets tired and needs a rest. So somehow she takes these
Yeah.
rests in the afternoon, and I try my best to be a good dad and watch the boys. After all, they're my beloved sons, and they bring me great joy,
Most of the time.
and I'm always happy to do it in the first few minutes of the nap because I can handle this. And then I realize very quickly they need a lot of things. They need a lot of things, and they know my name, and so they just yell out, "Dad, Dad, come here!" And it's usually I have to go somewhere for it. It's not just like you go there to do it. I have to go and do a thing. So come here and see these Legos I've built. So I'll go, "Dad, come check out these Hot Wheels over here. Dad, come give me some cereal." You know, they love cereal. Then they want popcorn, so and I have to rush all over the place. And I find myself moving so much, and there's phases of going full grump, I realized, in all of this. And it usually starts with me shouting from the other room, "Do it yourself!" But then I hear, "Dad, Dad, 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 Dad!" You know, and I'm going on. Finally, I go, "That's it! I'm changing my name!" Doesn't work. Still know my name, and they still call me. And to be honest, there wouldn't be anything I would change. I love these guys. I love doing stuff for them, and they're awesome. And I've learned that the trick with all of this is when I get to that point, I say, "I think it's time to wake mommy up from her nap." "I've only been resting for 7 minutes. You already are tired." This is the baptism of Jesus today that we celebrate. I've done this thought experiment before, but I always imagine if you were to just theoretically have a full manuscript of the whole Bible, and you grab it and you throw it into a wood chipper and then send the pieces out into the world, what is the smallest snippage, shred from the chipper that could go out that would have that message of salvation that as people read it, would they know enough to be saved? And I think our gospel is today. It's a very small little gospel. It's a very small snippet, but I think it's enough information because it tells the whole gospel story, starting with the fact that what Jesus does today is voluntary and inconvenient. I think the message of the gospel has to start with the fact that it's inconvenient. We are in deep need for something. We are, remember, as we said at Christmas, completely blind, and he dwells in inaccessible light. And Jesus does this thing that is inconvenient for him, which is to come to the river's edge and walk into the water. And technically, he didn't even need to do it. Because what is John's baptism for? It's repentance. It's to confess your sins and to seek forgiveness from God. Well, Jesus was completely sinless. He lived in every way as we do, stubbing our toes and walking around and had every temptation to grumble and complain and go through sorrow, and yet he didn't sin. So he didn't even need to go into the water of baptism, did he? And certainly to prepare for the way of the Lord, he is the Lord, bringing that way. He doesn't need to be baptized. And I started thinking this week, what if he didn't? What if he wasn't baptized? He's not being forgiven of anything. But can you imagine him standing on the side of the shore? Can you imagine him up on a high mound saying, "Come to me, I'm not going down there. I'm not wanting to get my feet wet"? Can you imagine Jesus as someone shouting from a distance rather than going down and rescuing and joining the people where they are? You see, this baptism It's a unity. It's a uniting heaven and earth in that moment when Jesus comes up from the water and we hear the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, and he brings me great joy." You see, this is a mirror picture of the whole gospel, isn't it? Jesus walking inconveniently to the water. Jesus, sinless, going down into the water of death. Remember, baptism is that idea of we are drowned and we die to ourselves, and then we are raised up again in Jesus Christ. This is the whole picture, isn't it? And then that acclamation from God, "This is my Son. This is a thing that brings me joy." And then the descent of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole picture of the gospel, isn't it? We are in need. Jesus comes. He goes into the water. He dies. He is risen. And then we receive the Holy Spirit. The whole gospel is embodied in this moment. Yes, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but can you imagine him doing that? Remember what he says to John? He says, we have to do this because it's the right thing. And later in the gospel, Jesus says, I can only do what my Father is doing first. I only do what I see the Father already doing. And it's this idea that only in the character of God does Jesus operate. Whatever he sees the Father doing, the Son will do also. And that's the only thing that he can do. And so what we do when we hear about this baptism that didn't need to take place, we recognize the character of God coming before us. It's the season of Epiphany. You know, it's like a newborn baby coming home, and yeah, you maybe have seen the ultrasound, you've seen pictures and kicks, and you know a little bit about what to expect when you're expecting. In the same way that we read the prophecies of the Old Testament, we know his character to a degree, and maybe we've seen those little kicks of God's presence with us. But it's only after the baby is born that you say, "Oh, I see who you are." You're revealed and you recognize so quickly their character. It didn't take us very long to realize that Jack was very wild and very loving at the same time. As soon as the baby comes, as soon as that season of Epiphany is here, you say, "Aha, here is God among us," and we learn about who he truly is. And this first week of Epiphany, what do we learn? That the character of God is to inconveniently come, to walk with us, to be baptized with us, and to unite heaven and earth in that great moment when Father and Son and Holy Spirit are in one place together. This is a message of great hope and great joy. And believe it or not, the technical theological term here is condescension. Now, we use that term in a very interesting way, right? If I were to go, "Great job on that reading, Jerry," we would all say, "Well, that was very condescending of you, wasn't it?" Great job on the reading, by the way. But the idea, quite literally, if you were to break down that word, is to descend with someone. Isn't that lovely? That as the Holy Spirit comes down, as Jesus descends into the water, he descends with us so that in his rising up, we are brought and ascended with him. So in the same way there is condescension, there would be conascension as well through him. This is the whole message of the gospel in one little microcosmic moment, isn't it? And I think the most important thing as we travel this journey from Christmas to Good Friday to Easter and then to Pentecost is that the message remains, Jesus has condescended with us. Jesus is with us in the water, in the air, in every struggle we go through, in every joy and victory, all the way to the cross where he dies for us, all the way to that empty tomb where he rises for us. He is with us. Now, I think if you're like me, and probably if you're human, you probably have that experience where you take for granted the fact that he walks with you. I just want us to take this moment now to really consider that the God who separated the heavens and the earth, the water and the land, walks into that water for us. All that he made, he joins. All that he created, he remains with. And that you, through Jesus Christ, are never, ever, ever alone. The God who made it all, who stirred above the waters and went into the waters, is now within your heart. No matter what we go through, whether we're having a Christmas moment or a Good Friday moment, we walk it with him because we also live that Easter moment of resurrection. So praise the Lord for his condescension. Praise the Lord for his willingness to inconveniently go into the water, and praise the Lord that he raises up so that we would be raised with him. And to know today that you are never, ever, ever alone.